You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Keith Martin. This week on the Corrections Connection, we are exploring reentry and the juvenile offender. Joining us today to discuss this topic is Sherry Nolan, Deputy Assistant Attorney General of the U.S. Justice Department's Office of Justice Programs. In this role, she is responsible for oversight of the National Institute of Justice, the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, and the Office for Victims of Crime. In addition, she has been a key figure in the government-wide Serious and Violent Offender Reentry Initiative to help reduce recidivism. Ms. Nolan first began working in the Justice Department in 1987 as Deputy Director of the Office of Liaison Services under three Attorney Generals. She was on the front lines of numerous judicial and legislative battles concerning crime issues of the late 1980s and early 1990s. After leaving the department, she worked with the television show America's Most Wanted as executive assistant to the program's host, John Walsh. In 2001, Ms. Nolan returned to the Justice Department's Office of Justice Programs in her current position. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Ms. Nolan.
Well, thank you, Keith. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Let's start talking about the focus of juvenile reentry. Is the national focus on this topic as large an effort as it is for adults, and why or why not?
Well, Keith, as part of what we're calling the Serious and Violent Offender Reentry Initiative, there are 23 programs that are specifically for the juvenile. There are 68 totally funded sites, or funds that are being funded throughout the United States, one in each state, as well as the District of Columbia in the Virgin Islands. And as I said, 23 of those are specifically targeted towards juveniles. Another 24 are targeting both juveniles and adults, and then the remainder are targeting just the adults. One of the ways that has been limited is because we are dealing with strictly the most serious and violent that are returning to society, and those that would pose the greatest risk to public safety should they recidivate.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about younger offenders in reentry, what are some of the unique issues that they face as opposed to older offenders? And the second part of that question is, what are some of the common issues that both these populations face?
Well, there are a number of them, Keith. One of them is the tremendous peer pressure that juveniles face. Just in the regular business that they do in attending school and reporting to jobs, I think youth face a number of pressures that an adult would not. Many of the youthful offenders we know have learning disabilities. Many of them have substance abuse and mental health issues. And many of them come from families that have not necessarily been conducive to their strong and positive development.
Mm-hmm. In terms of common issues between the two, is it, you mentioned substance abuse and mental health, are there others like employment and housing and so on?
Yes, there are. Employment issues are very strong. Strong barrier to the youth that are returning because they don't have a job history like many adult offenders might have. There are also, as you mentioned, the substance abuse and mental health issues that are common. The housing issues, they're even further limited for youthful offenders than they are for adults. Many of them do not have a stable family situation to return to. Also, in many cases, the families have been victimized by these offenders, and it's returning to that family is not always an option. So there's tremendous barriers as regards to housing. And we're working very closely with the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness in trying to do what we can to prevent young people that are coming out of incarceration and detention from becoming part of the homeless population. And we really see this as a large part of a homelessness prevention effort as well.
Excellent. Now, when you talked about some of the unique issues in terms of peer pressure and learning disabilities, et cetera, what are some initiatives or strategies that you're seeing to address some of these unique issues that juveniles only are facing?
Well, we are relying heavily on the intensive aftercare program, the research and demonstration project by Johns Hopkins University and California State University at Sacramento. And that combines some very innovative ideas and strategies that help plan while the offender is still incarcerated, and works for that offender while incarcerated as far as educational programs, as far as any counseling that is concerned, as far as any job training, GED, realizing that the transition must start while they're still incarcerated, and to provide those strengths and provide that safety net that they will need in order for a positive transition once they come out.
Right. One of the topics we discussed this week in our stories on corrections.com is the impact of mentoring, mm-hmm. and how that can assist a juvenile in their reentry efforts. How useful do you see mentoring in these initiatives?
Well, we see a very strong role for mentors in this initiative. And among the adult programs that we have seen that have involved mentors, this has been tremendously successful. And we anticipate that the same degree of success will be felt among the juvenile population. There are some things that we know very definitely about mentoring of juveniles, and that one is the critical role that the length of that mentoring relationship takes has a long-term effect on that offender. These relationships must be longer than 6 months, and the effectiveness of the mentoring partnership is a direct result of the strength of that relationship that is between the mentor and the offender.
Interesting. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about reentry initiatives for juvenile offenders with Sherry Nolan, Deputy Assistant Attorney General in the Office of Justice Programs. Speaking of your agency, what initiatives and programs has the Office of Justice Programs created or supported to assist juvenile offender reentry?
Well, it's much broader than just the Department of Justice. Within the Department of Justice, however, it is a partnership not just with the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, but also our Office for Victims of Crime, our Violence Against Women Office. Our National Institute of Justice is providing the evaluation of this initiative. And so, and also our Bureau of Justice Assistance is also intricately involved in this. And finally, our Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. So that's just within the Justice Department itself.
Oh.
And then the Reentry Initiative goes much broader than just the Justice Department, to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, Health and Human Services, Department of Labor, Education. The Social Security Administration has been a very active partner with us. As well as the Department of Veterans Affairs. And of course, that's really mostly for the older offenders that are part of this program, because many of them are veterans.
In terms of these national efforts, how can those involved in maybe a local reentry program become involved in the national effort?
Well, in each state, the lead on this reentry initiative is the head of the State Department of Corrections.
Okay.
They are the recipient agency of the grant funds, and they have been tasked with identifying within their system, either adult or juvenile, that jurisdiction in their state where the greatest number of offenders that can be assessed as being the most serious and violent will be returning to. For example, I know in Boston, almost 40% of the men coming out of the Massachusetts Office of Corrections will go back within just several neighborhoods within the city of Boston. So it's real easy to see where those resources need to be targeted. And so the heads of corrections are tasked with working with that local jurisdiction and the faith-based community in that jurisdiction to help plan for the return of these offenders. So I would encourage anyone who's listening that wants to get involved is to reach out to your State Department of Corrections.
Excellent. That's very good advice. Now, how can, besides getting in touch with their state DOC, how can people learn more about the Serious and Violent Offender Reentry Initiative?
They can go to the Office of Justice Programs website,
okay.
which is www.ojp, as in the Office of Justice Programs, .usdoj.gov/reentry.
Excellent.
And also on that site, if I could add, Keith, there's a lot of new information there that we post whenever we get it, as far as success stories, new and innovative ideas that we're coming across, newspaper articles maybe from other parts of the country that not necessarily everyone would see. We also put up there funding opportunities that people may not necessarily be aware of, both in the private sector and the public sector. So I would encourage people to check out that website.
Definitely. I agree with you. I've been there a few times, and in terms, from a resource standpoint, even if you just go to something as simple as the publications page, you can search by juveniles or by substance abuse, by mental health, and all these different areas, and all the resources in there are up to date, like you're saying. And I find it helpful to go state by state, and you can find out what each state is doing.
Exactly, and also on that state by state map will be the contact information also for people to be able to reach out for further information as to what's happening in their particular state.
Excellent. Now, you mentioned partners a little bit earlier. You mentioned some of the partners that you've enlisted for these initiatives. How crucial is it to have a partnership when we're talking about reentry and get different groups and different organizations, whether it be at a federal level or even at your local level, get them involved?
I can't stress enough how critically important it is. This is not just a corrections issue. It's not just a law enforcement issue. Not just an education issue. It's so important that, especially in these times of dwindling resources, that these different agencies work together and collaborate and cooperate and address the problem across agency lines. In fact, I just came back late last night from a welfare research conference that we're really not very familiar with Department of Justice issues, and just from the short time I was able to spend there, just being able to open up those lines of communications between those on the social welfare side and those of us on the criminal justice side, I think were just invaluable. And more of those conversations need to occur.
I agree. That's great. To wrap up today's live talk, what more can juvenile justice agencies and their communities or in their community partners do to assist juveniles in reintegration?
Well, I think one of the things that's critical, Keith, is that for people to recognize that the juveniles that are returning have tremendous needs in the community, and that they probably are going to be the largest drain on resources in that community if some preventive measures are not taken by preparing for their release from institutionalization. Employers need to make jobs available for them. Community organizations need to open their doors to them. We know that this is not the easiest population to work with, but as I say over and over again, the costs, if we don't work with this population, are just catastrophic if the recidivism rates are allowed to continue like they do.
I agree. That's an excellent message and good information for everybody listening today. Well, that concludes today's live talk. I want to thank Sherry Nolan again of the Office of Justice Programs for joining us today. Ms. Nolan, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Excellent. And thank you to our audience as well. For more information on reentry and the juvenile offender, please be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.